We're actually going to get back into our series on Christ in the Old Testament. This was kind of the message we were supposed to get to last Sunday night, but of course we were able to have the opportunity to go and to Barbara's funeral and encourage the family and folks there, so that's certainly okay. We've actually been, since the beginning of this year, found Christ as He personally and visibly appears to people in this world. And the theological term for that is a Christophany, a manifestation of Christ. Of course, several times Christ appeared to men and to some women as a man, and when He did so, He manifested to them the same character that He would possess at His incarnation. And that's why wherever we find Christ in the Bible, whether it's in the Old Testament or the New Testament, He is, as Hebrews says, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same Old Testament, New Testament. He is Christ, one and the same. Other times, though, Christ appeared to men as a messenger from God or as the angel of the Lord. And we've been looking at this thought probably last month or so. But when He appeared, that appearance could take different forms. Certainly, there were times where He appeared as a man. Other times, may have looked like an angel. Sometimes, He even appeared as fire or even smoke, a pillar of fire and smoke. But whenever Christ came as the angel of the Lord, He always came to deliver an important message. And that's one of the things that you look for when you look for an angel of the Lord. First of all, what kind of angel? Is it an angel that speaks for the Lord, or is it the angel that speaks as the Lord? And of course, if it speaks as the Lord, with the authority of the Lord, it's Christ. It's a Christophany. And if it's a Christophany, you got to look for the message. What is the message that He's trying to convey and deliver to the people that He is visiting? So that is what we're looking for even tonight. If you remember the last time we were together, Christ, as the angel of the Lord, remained with His people all throughout their journey through the wilderness. In Isaiah, Christ was called the angel of the Lord's presence, because wherever the Lord was, Christ was. Wherever His people were, He was. And through His presence, He protected His people, preserved His people, even when they weren't aware of it. If you remember, the angel of the Lord, Christ, actually appeared to a false prophet by the name of Balaam. And He prevented Balaam from cursing His people, and the rest of the people didn't even know it. Somehow that was revealed to Moses to write it down. Not exactly sure how that all transpired, but we do know that Christ met with an ungodly man and prevented him from doing what He wanted to do, which was cursing His people. Where the Lord promised to be with His people even as they entered the promised land. He was with them there in the wilderness. He was even with them in Egypt, but now He is going to be with them in the promised land. And Christ, though, would not manifest Himself in the same daily visible way that He had before, in that pillar of fire, that pillar of smoke. But that did not mean that Christ was not still with them or for them, because He was. He promised He would be with them, even in the promised land. And that's when we see the next time the angel of the Lord appears. And actually, you have to go all the way to the book of Judges. So let's first turn to Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2, where in verse 1, we meet the angel of the Lord again. The same angel of the Lord that prevented Balaam from cursing his people is now appearing there in the promised land. Judges 2, 1, we're told, "An angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim," or Bochim, I'm not sure how to pronounce that, "and said, 'I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you.'" Now, obviously, the words that this angel of the Lord is speaking are words that could only come from the mouth of the Lord. He is the one who brought the people out of Egypt. The Lord is the one who brought them into the land which He swore to his fathers. The Lord was the one who said, "I will never break my covenant with you." And so the angel of the Lord here is Christ. And He says, "I am going to be with you. And I am going to be with you and for you as you continue on your life in this place." Now, from time to time, in the book of Judges, He would reveal Himself again, visibly, personally, as the angel of the Lord. And He does so in the ministries of the judges. And the very first judge that Christ appears to as the angel of the Lord is Gideon. Gideon. And his ministry is given to us in Judges chapter 6 and 7. And so that's where I'd like us to turn again. And of course, this is such a fascinating story that I'd like us to read through its entirety before we continue to look at and see what the message of this messenger is to us. So picking up there in Judges chapter 6, we'll read through this chapter and the next. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them dens, which are in mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they come up against them, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number. And they entered into the land to destroy it. Oh, and Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Verse 11, And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon, threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, Oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid, and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket. He put upon the broth in a pot, and brought it out unto him under the oak, and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, Take the flesh and the unleavened bread, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock, and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. And it came to pass the same night, the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock. in the ordered place. And take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it. And the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. And then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death whilst it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Therefore on that day he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher and to Zebulun and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet him. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so. For he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with a fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them, by the hill of Morah, in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from the Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go every man unto his place. So the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man, unto his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Phurah, thy servant, down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say. And afterward shalt thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Phurah, his servant, or Phurah, his servant, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites, the Amalekites, and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, Behold, I dreamed a dream. And lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came into a tent, and smote it, that it fell, and overturned it, that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, oh, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned unto the host of Israel and said, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men into three companies. And he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, Look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that, as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with a trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp. And all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets. And the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Bethshitta in Zarephath, and to the border of Abel-Meholah unto Tabath. And we're going to go ahead and stop there, because I probably can't pronounce the rest of those places. But what a remarkable story. And not just a story, but reality. You know, one of the main themes in all of these chapters is the Lord's salvation and the Lord's deliverance of his people. The Hebrew word for deliverance is actually used 9 times in these 2 chapters. Sometimes it's used when the Lord delivers his people to their oppressors to judge them. But most of the time, it's when the Lord delivers his people from their enemies to save them. So deliverance is used 9 times, and then the Hebrew word for salvation is used another 7 times. So clearly, salvation, deliverance is the theme. And back in verses 11 through 14 of chapter 6, it is Christ, as the angel of the Lord, who brings Gideon the message of that deliverance and of that salvation. And we know this because this angel of the Lord is not just speaking for the Lord, but as the Lord. Look at verse 11 again. There came an angel of the Lord. Then verse 12, this angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord Yahweh is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And then verse 14, and the Lord himself, Yahweh himself, looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might. Another Christophany. Christ himself speaking to this judge. And in this encounter between Gideon and the angel of the Lord, I believe we can learn 3 things about Christ's salvation, Christ's deliverance of his people. We can see when the Lord does his work, how the Lord does his work of deliverance, and even who the Lord can use to bring others to salvation as well. When, how, and who. And what Christ did for and through Gideon here in the book of Judges, he would do one day for all of his people. And that deliverance, unlike this one, would last forever. So first, we can learn when Christ delivers. When the Lord does his work of deliverance. When the Lord sent his messenger to Gideon, it was when the people were wayward from the Lord. Jump back to chapter 6, verse 1, which summarizes these 2 chapters for us, where we're told that the children of Israel, and this is a common theme through Judges, isn't it? But it's also a common theme in our own hearts, isn't it? The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them, not here for salvation, but for judgment, delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. So It wasn't just when the people were merely wayward. It was actually when they were downright wicked, doing evil in the sight of the Lord. And this is the time when Christ came to deliver his people through Gideon, when they were wayward and even wicked. It was also when the people were weak, weak in their own might and in their own strength. In verse 2 of chapter 6, we also saw that the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And so what did the people of Israel do? Verse 2, they made them dens. They made hiding places in the mountains, in caves, strongholds. Why? Because they were weak. They were weak. They were weak in their minds. They were weak in their hearts. And that weakness caused them to be weak in their own bodies. It is amazing how morale can affect those who otherwise might be physically strong. We see this going on over in the battle, in the war in Ukraine. And you think about the morale that you've been hearing about on the Russian side and the Ukrainian side. The Russians have more troops and more tanks and more ammo and all of this stuff, but the morale is weak, though they're physically strong. Yet on the other side, the Ukrainians, though they are militarily weaker than the Russians, yet the morale is much stronger, and they've been able to do so much more than anybody has expected. But what we find here is when Israel was at her weakest point, that is when Christ came to Gideon to deliver his people. It was also when the people were wanting, and they knew they needed help. That's why if you go to verse 6, it was when Israel was greatly impoverished, the Bible says, because of the Midianites. What did they do? It says, then the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. They knew they needed help. They knew they couldn't do this on their own. They knew they were in a desperate situation and they needed the Lord. And so when the children of Israel were at their most wayward and wicked and weakest point, they cried unto the Lord and he heard them and he came to deliver them. Now we first see that he came through a prophet. And in verse 6, we don't know who this prophet was, but his message was kind of jolting. It was almost like, I told you so. He basically was telling them, hey, I'm the one that did all this for you. I brought you out of Egypt. I brought you through the wilderness. I brought you here to this promised land, but you still didn't obey my voice. That prophet was bringing them a word of conviction. But the very next verse, what happened? Then the Lord actually comes to them, not in a prophet, but personally. In verse 11, when the angel of the Lord, Christ himself, brings a message of comfort, that they would be delivered by the Lord through the hand of Gideon. And what Christ was sent to do then, he also was sent to do at his incarnation. He didn't just come to deliver and save those of us who were righteous or strong or independent. No, he came to deliver and save those who were wicked and weak and wanting. He came to save sinners like us. In Mark 2:17, Jesus said, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I, Jesus, came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's what he did at his incarnation, and that's what he did before. This is when Christ came to save the people of Israel. This is when Christ came to save you and save me. And we need to remember something. We need to remember that this is still when Christ saves. Though we were wicked and weak and wanting, Christ came to us and for us anyways. And when we think about this world, sometimes, yes, sin revolts us. And it should. Sin ought to cause us to grieve. But then we realize that those are the same ones that Christ came to save. That's why he saved us. I wasn't righteous. I wasn't strong. I wasn't independent. Instead, I was weak and wayward and wicked and wanting. That is the whole point of the gospel, isn't it? Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He saves us first by bringing his word of conviction, just like that prophet, to give us a knowledge of our sin and a repentance of that sin. But then, like the angel of the Lord here, he brings his word of comfort to bring to us a knowledge and a faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior. This is when Christ does his work. This is when and only when Christ delivers. Jesus said in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save not those who were already found, had it all together, but those who were what? Lost. This is when Christ delivers. But then number two, we see how Christ delivers. How? How the Lord does his work of deliverance. When the angel of the Lord comes to Gideon, it was to remind him and his people of his own presence, his own promises, and his own power, and that's how he would deliver them. It wasn't through Gideon. It wasn't Gideon's strength. It wasn't Gideon's presence. It wasn't Gideon's promises. It was the Lord's. And so again, we see he would deliver through his own presence his people. If you go to verse 13 of chapter 6, Gideon complained to the Lord. He says, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us?" Now, at this point, Gideon, I don't think, senses or believes in God's presence. He doesn't know who this angel of the Lord is. We're going to see that here in a minute. But he really believes that he's been forsaken. The whole people of God have been forsaken. But just because he didn't sense God's presence, just because he didn't believe in God's presence, didn't take away the truth of God's presence. And that is something we need to remember. God's presence and the promise of his presence remains even if we don't sense it, feel it, or believe it. It's there. Again, in verse 11, verse 12, verse 21, verse 22, those four verses, the angel of the Lord is actually mentioned as being there with Gideon and for Gideon. So here, Gideon's complaining, God's not with us. When he's speaking to God right in front of him, he just didn't know it. So, what does the Lord do? The Lord proves his presence. The Lord, through his presence, proved that he had not forsaken his people. Of course, Gideon finally realizes this in verse 22. But again, just because you don't believe in the presence of the Lord doesn't change the reality of it. And it would be through Christ's own presence that he would deliver his people. Also, through his own promises. There are several promises that Christ offers to Gideon here. In verse 14, the promise to use him. Oh, what a wonderful promise that God gives his people. I will use you in my plan. I will use you in my plan. Verse 14, and the Lord looked upon him and said, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. I've sent you." That's a promise. But then if you go to verse 16, another promise to be with him in that work. The Lord said unto him, "Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." Something else we need to remember is that the Lord's word is his bond. What the Lord says is always so. And really, Gideon should have already known this. I mean, he was an Israelite. He had heard about the miracles that God had done for his fathers. He had heard probably about God's word. In Numbers 23:19, we are told that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Remember who said that? That was that false prophet Balaam. And yet what he said was actually true. Just because he was a false prophet, even though he was someone that God was trying to restrain from cursing his people, this was true no matter who said it. And Christ would deliver Gideon and his people through his own presence and through his own promises, but also through his own power. Much of what we read in these two chapters were signs asked for by Gideon and then provided by the Lord to reassure him of his presence and his promises. It wasn't just one sign. It was not just two signs. It was three signs and even a few more thrown in there. Again, if you look at verse 21, Christ, as the angel of the Lord, brought up fire from the rock to consume the food placed there by Gideon. This is a confirmation of my power, my presence, and my promises. And then when Gideon puts the fleece of wool out there on the ground, again, not just one time, but two times, to prove and test the Lord and his word to him, the Lord did what he wanted. That doesn't mean that we're supposed to put the fleece out and try to test the Lord. But no, that is the kind of long-suffering nature that Christ has towards his people. And when Gideon's army was winnowed down by the Lord to just 300 men, God was wanting to show Gideon and to us just how he delivers and saves his people. God delivers through his presence, not ours. God saves and delivers through his promises and his word, not ours. Christ delivers through his power and his might, not ours. And so how Christ delivered his people then is still how Christ delivers us today. That's why Paul tells us in Ephesians 6:10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power, Not of your might, not in the power of a big assembly, not in the power of anybody else, but the power of His might. And so when you need deliverance from the penalty of sin, you can turn to and trust in Christ who will save you. That is the gospel. But what about when you need deliverance from the power of sin? When you struggle with temptation, when the pull of the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life just seems so strong to you. In Hebrews, it talks about the sins that so easily beset us. Where do you go? Who will you turn to for deliverance in that? Christ can deliver you. Christ in His power, His presence, and in His promises. You can turn to and trust in Christ who will deliver you according to His own nature. But then we also learn, third, who Christ uses to deliver. And of course, Christ is the deliverer, but often Christ uses others as the means of His deliverance, and that's the case here. Who the Lord uses in His work of deliverance. Of course, this passage, God comes to and uses Gideon. But when Christ came to Gideon, what kind of man did He find? Not the man that you and I probably would have picked to deliver your people from the Midianites. He first found a very fearful man. Gideon was actually a fearful man. If you go to verse 11 of chapter 6 again, we find the angel of the Lord sitting under an oak. Where's Gideon? He's hiding. He's hiding like all the rest of the Israelites. It says he was threshing wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. He was in hiding. Now, granted, they were vast. They were great armies. And so I've probably been in the same situation, but he was a fearful man. Of course, everyone else was hiding too. But the question is, how could the Lord use someone like Gideon to rescue and deliver His people? He also found Gideon as a feeble man. At first, Gideon was a feeble man, if not in body, certainly in mind, and that mind affected his body. Look at verse 12 again. When Christ approaches Gideon and says, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." I can imagine Gideon, first of all, being scared. Who's talking to me? I'm trying to hide here. You're going to let people know where I'm at. But I would imagine him looking around to see who he was talking to. Where is that mighty man of valor? Is there a Midianite around me? It wouldn't and couldn't have been him. Even Gideon admits in verse 15 that he possessed nothing of might, nothing of strength, nothing even of use to the Lord. He said unto him, "Oh, my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." He had no possessions to speak of. He had no prestige. He had no power. How are you, Lord, going to use me to save your people? But what did the Lord call him to do anyways? In verse 14, he said, "Go in this thy might." I think he was being a little ironic, maybe being a little facetious here, because it wasn't his might that he was calling him to go in. He was calling to go him in his lack of might, because in his weakness, that is how he would be strong. So what else did he find in Gideon? Not just a fearful man or a feeble man, but also a faithless man. Why else would Gideon put Christ to the test over and over and over again? But it was this man with all his fears and feebleness and faithlessness that Christ actually chose to deliver his people from the Midianites. How could the Lord do that? How can the Lord take someone like you and someone like me to do anything of value in His work? Well, the answer is given all the way down in verse 34 of chapter 6, where we are told, "But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon." Here he was, a fearful man, a feeble man, a man that just really didn't look the part or was the part, but it was the Spirit of the Lord that came upon Gideon. Notice that word, "but." Gideon was fearful, but. Gideon was feeble, but. Gideon was faithless at first, but what happened? The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. That is still the kind of person that God can use, that Christ uses to bring deliverance to others just like us. When Paul wrote to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 1:26, he said these words, "For you see your calling, brethren," he's talking about us, "how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, so that no flesh should glory in his presence." Paul is spot on. This is who we are apart from Christ. Not wise, not mighty, not noble. We were and are like Gideon. We're often foolish, weak, and just common. But when Christ meets us right where we are, just like he met Gideon, he can actually transform us through the gift of his Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit indwells us and takes hold of us, who knows what the Lord can do? So that now we can serve him in the power not of our might, go in this thy might, but no, go in this thy might that is actually flowing through you from the Lord himself. And it's not for my glory, but for the glory of God. Not for my good, but for the good of others. Zechariah 4:6, we're told that it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And that is why Christ came to Gideon then, and that is why Christ comes to us now, to give us his Spirit so that out of our weakness he can make us strong. This is what we need. And this is the message of Christ, the angel of the Lord, to Gideon. It's not by your might. It's not by your power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So that is when and how and who the Lord uses in his work of deliverance. So now, what must we do? Trust him as he works, even through you. Even through you. Let's close in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you again for this great message that Christ gave to Gideon, all the way back in the book of Judges. Lord, thank you that Christ came to him and Christ came for his people at their lowest time in their experience and their lives. When they were wayward, when they were wicked, when they were wanting, oh Lord, when they were weak. Thank you, Lord, that that is still when you come. That's still when you show up. That's still when you give us not only a word of conviction, but then a word of comfort through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for showing us when you work. And we pray, oh Lord, that you'll help us to see that as well. When we go through this world this week, Lord, that we will recognize that we are rubbing shoulders with people who are in the same desperate condition that the people of Israel were in this time period, and the same desperate condition that we were before we were saved. So, Father, give us compassion. Give us compassion for them, because they know not what they do. And so, Father, I pray that you'll help us to sometimes use the word of a prophet and to point out how they have despised their Creator and how they have broken his laws. But then, Lord, help us to come alongside and point out the great comfort that there is in the Lord Jesus Christ, how that Christ came to seek and to save them, so that though they were lost, now they could be found. Though they were blind, now they can see. Though they were hell-bound, now they can be heaven-bound if they just but repent of their sin and turn to and trust the risen Savior Jesus Christ to save them. And he will. And Father, we pray that that faith will not be a weak faith or a nominal faith that we even looked at this morning, but Lord, it'll be a faith that you can nurture and grow so that they will flourish in their walk with you. Oh, Father, I thank you that that's when you still work. And I thank you also for showing us how you work, Lord. Lord, you can take any of us to accomplish your work. In fact, you don't need any of us to accomplish your work. That is how powerful you are. You can accomplish your work by your very presence. But, Father, I thank you for including us in that work. And so, Father, I pray that you'll help us to see that when we are weak, you are strong. When we can't be somewhere, Lord, we know that you are there. Oh, Father, we thank you that though you give us responsibilities to go and to serve you and to witness for you and to be a light and a salt, yet, Lord, we're thankful that we're only the planters of the seed and the sowers of the seed and maybe even the waterers of the seed. And, Lord, ultimately we rely on you to bring forth the increase. So, Father, help us to see that you are the one doing the work so that you might receive all the glory. And then, Father, I thank you that you've also shown to us not just how you work, but who you can use. Oh, Lord, I pray that will be our desire, that we don't want to just be sitting on the sidelines, but, Lord, that we want to be actively used by you. We want to fulfill the purpose that you have for us, Lord. So often, Lord, we are willing to let others serve and others work and others do what you want them to do. But, Lord, help us to remember that you've called us to serve. And, Father, you've given us your Holy Spirit so that we can serve. And so, Lord, if we feel like we lack a gift or we lack the strength or we lack the impetus or the ability, Lord, help us to remember that, again, it's not by our might, it's not by our power, but it's by your Spirit. So, Lord, I pray that your Spirit will do his work in our lives. That, Lord, we won't quench the Spirit, that we won't grieve the Spirit, but, Lord, that we'll be open to his leading and prompting to be able to serve you even as you've called us. Thank you, Lord, that this is when and how and even who you use in your work. And now, Lord, help us to come before you with our hands open, saying, Lord, here am I. Send me. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.